The last topic in chapter 2 is on the characterization of image sharpness and what is called acuteness. This is not a commonly used measure, but there are several studies from the 1960s and 70s where the quality of the image produced by an imaging system or recorded on an imaging sensor such as film was characterized in terms of what is called acuteness that represents a measure of sharpness. Acuteness was related to the edge spread function, where the edge spread function is f of x. X is the distance along the x-axis, and this is the profile of the edge, where, as I mentioned earlier, this could be an image of an object with a sharp edge, and then you take sections of the image or scan lines across the image, and what you get will be a step function, where you have a low value and a high value, and in between there is a transition. Ideally, it would be a step function. If it is blurred, you get a smooth edge. The idea here is to characterize how smooth this edge is. And there are different notions associated with the sharpness of the image reproduced by a device that would produce an edge spread function like this, or would obtain an image of an object with a real edge in this manner. So considering this axis to be the distance x and the vertical axis to be the intensity function f of x, acuteness was defined in one form as the squared derivative of the function along the x-axis between two limits a and b that included the edge and the effect of blurring, and then normalized by the difference between the two levels of the output. Now, this is one definition, and that is in the image domain. It does not require any reference. It is not comparing one image with another. It is simply considering the edge spread function and characterizing that by reducing it to just one number. There were also other measures of acuteness based upon the MTF. I mentioned earlier that the area under the MTF is an indication of the bandwidth of the system. If the transfer function is constant for all frequencies, the area under the MTF is the maximum. But if it is a low-pass filter, the gain reduces, so the area becomes smaller. The narrower the passband, the smaller the area under the curve. The MTF of a system that contains a number of linear shift invariant systems, LSI is linear shift invariant, in series or in cascade, it's simply the product of the individual MTFs, one after another. Not the magnitude, but this is the complex transfer function. So it is the product of all of them in series or cascade, and the impulse responses are successively convolved. The net impulse response of the system is the convolution of all of the impulse responses of the systems in cascade. So the MTF contains the information related to the point spread function. So a system with large gain at high frequencies will give you a sharp output image, and that is indicated by a large area under the normalized MTF. And the MTF area-based measures represent the combined effect of all the systems between the image that you start acquiring with a camera and any filters you have and any image processing algorithms you have, and also you could include the visual system of the observer at the end. But this is actually independent of the image being displayed. It does not consider the image, whereas the acuteness based on the edge spread function considers the actual image. But of course, the effect of all of the systems is inherent in the edge spread function, because the edge spread function is related to the point spread function. (Clears throat) Now, assuming the MTF to be isotropic, with the radial frequency nu equal to square root of u square plus v square, then you can write the MTF as hs nu. And you can have a reference he nu. Here, hs nu is the MTF of the complete system, the image acquisition system and any filters you have put in between, any processing systems you have put in between. He nu is the MTF threshold of the eye. So you are comparing the system transfer function with the transfer function of the receiving system, which is the eye, as a threshold. You take the difference and then ask how much is HS better than HE in some sense. And then you integrate that up to a certain maximum frequency. Beyond nu max, you would consider the frequency components to be related to noise or not of interest in your application. It could also be taken here, in this particular case, HS nu max to be equal to HE nu max. So nu max is defined as the point in the frequency axis where the system transfer function is equal to the transfer function of the eye, and beyond that, the system transfer function would be typically lower. Instead of the difference, you could also take the ratio and integrate that ratio. There is another measure of acuteness that was called AMTA, and I read the article so many times and they never defined what AMTA is. So I don't know what AMTA means. It is some measure of acuteness. And they normalized it by taking the product of the two transfer functions, that of the system and that of the eye, and then normalize with respect to the integral of the eye transfer function or response, and then included some constants, 100 plus 66 log 10, and these were adjusted so that 100 meant excellent, 90 meant good, 80 meant fair, and 70 meant just passable. So this was the grading that the authors came up with. Now in the lecture material, I don't have the references. There's no point in showing you the reference here. All the references are in the book. So I'm not giving any references here. The MTF of the eye was modeled as a Gaussian with the standard deviation sigma equal to 13 cycles per degree of the frequency. So another representation of acuteness was the square root integral, SQRI, that was proposed by Barton. And here, the ratio was taken of HS nu to HE, and the square root of that was taken and integrated with 1 over nu as a weighting factor. So here, nu max was the maximum frequency of interest. And there's a normalization factor involved. Barton showed that this is better than the other measures of acuteness. So we have a variety of measures of acuteness, one based on the edge spread function, and the remaining that I showed all based upon the MTF, some of them having the reference with the MTF of the eye, and that is modeled as a Gaussian in some cases. And the difference is taken in some cases, and in some other cases, the ratio is taken, and then integrated over a certain band of frequencies. So instead of just taking the area under the curve, various authors came up with these definitions of acuteness where one MTF is compared with another MTF. Now, a few years ago, with one of my students, El Kadiki, we developed a technique to take the edge spread function that I showed just now and the acuteness as defined using the edge spread function and applied it to a region in two dimensions. So instead of taking, let me go back a moment. Instead of considering only one edge, which would be, for example, if this is the object, you're considering a section and you're taking this one edge. And you could possibly average across if all of this represents simply one edge. instead of that, we said, let us take the derivatives around the object in all directions, all the way around the object. It need not be a sharp edge, equally sharp all around. It is some object. And you acquired an image of this. How sharp is the image is the question. So instead of just taking one edge function, we said this could be some object in the image of some shape. This is the foreground or the object, and around that is the background. The background could be just empty space in the image, or it could be involving other objects in the background. We don't know. The question is, how sharp is this edge? But then for a real object, there is no single edge, there is a contour. So around the contour, we said, let us draw perpendiculars or normals to the contour. And along the normal, let us compute derivatives or differences. And it is possible to compute the derivative one pixel to the next along the normal. But we said that is not what we want. We want to compare a pixel inside the object with a pixel outside the object at the same distance across the contour. So we take one pixel here and one pixel outside, take the difference. Take another pixel here and another pixel outside at the same distance and take the difference. And yet another pixel and another, and so on both sides of the normal, using a number of pixels normalized by the distance, and get one average gradient for this normal. And repeat it for all the normals that you can find around the contour, and then average that information. So instead of using the traditional difference, fn, f prime is fn minus 1, the current pixel minus the previous in some order of movement, we said, let us split the normal as one part inside the object, another part outside, and call one as foreground, the other as background. And take the difference between foreground pixels and background pixels, divide by 2 times the n index, because the distance is one n here, another n there. Normalize that all the way around. This is for one normal. Normalized by dividing by 2n and then 1 over n. So this is for one normal, like this. And then take an average of this measure, take the square and average and square root. So this is the root mean square value of that normalized averaged gradient of some kind along one normal, and average that across all the normals around the boundary of the object, which is this k going 1 to capital K. And we said this is a representation of the sharpness of the object. It does not depend upon the systems. We're not asking what is the MTF of the systems. Now, I shouldn't say it doesn't depend. It depends upon the systems in the sense the effect of the systems that affected the image until the stage you observed it is already present in the image in the form of blurring of the edge. Given this is the object of interest, how sharp is it is the question. And that is a kind of an edge spread function around the contour of the specific object. So it is dependent upon the specific image and the object. It characterizes not simply the contrast of the object. Remember earlier I mentioned contrast, F minus B divided by B, where F is the average of the foreground, B is average of the background divided by B. Instead of that, we are taking derivatives along normals to the contour of the object. So here we have a measure which is normalized, and that gives you a measure of sharpness of the object. And acuteness is a word that is used to indicate the sharpness of an object against its background. So we showed that acuteness is reduced by blurring. If you convolve the image with a blurring function such as a mean filter, acuteness is reduced. It is increased by sharpening. If you apply an image sharpening filter, acuteness increases. It is not affected significantly by noise because there is averaging of multiple derivatives. If you just take one derivative, it is affected by noise, but if you average multiple differences, then the effect of noise is reduced to some extent. And it correlates well with sharpness as judged by human observers. We did a study where we took a certain test object, a circular disk kind of an object, against uniform background. We blurred it to different levels of blurring. We added noise to all of the images to different levels. We showed these images to observers. And then we asked them to rank which image is sharper and provided the images in pairs, and then worked out a ranking and compared the sharpness as ranked by human observers, averaged over multiple trials and multiple observers, with acutans, and we showed that there is a good correlation. In previous studies, other methods of acutans that I described had been compared in a similar manner with the ranking of sharpness of images obtained by different imaging systems or different types of films, where the images were given to observers and they ranked. This is the best, this is number 2, this is number 3, and so on. And they had compared the effectiveness of other measures of acutans and studied whether they agree with subjective judgment or not. We did a similar study here and showed that there is good correlation. So that is one measure of image quality in terms of sharpness of the boundary of an object. And this is a measure of quality. It is a measure of information in the sense of sharpness. So in this chapter, we have seen several measures, including signal-to-noise ratio that tells you if there is noise and how much noise with reference to signal power or energy. And we saw how the modulation transfer function could be used to characterize the quality of an imaging system in terms of how much of high frequency it passes, or how much of high frequency is attenuated by a low-pass type of an image acquisition system. And finally, we have seen here in acutans a measure that could characterize an imaging system or a chain of imaging and image processing systems or a region in an image based on just the image and not considering the image processing systems prior to that. These are measures that could be used to characterize an imaging system or an image. They represent the notion of quality from different perspectives. They represent the nature of the information contained in the image from different perspectives again. Statistical, using entropy, the Fourier spectrum in terms of high frequency and low frequency components or oriented features, and so on. So although at the beginning of this chapter I said it is hard to quantify the notion of quality, that is what we have tried to do in this chapter. How do you define quality? How do you define information? And how is it possible to characterize these in terms of functions that depend upon these notions of quality or information? And some of these functions could be reduced to one number, like acutans or signal-to-noise ratio. Finally, instead of giving a function that has many values, like the Fourier spectrum that has thousands or millions of values, you could reduce all of that information to one number and say A equal to 0.9. That is a measure of the sharpness of this object, or area under the MTF is 0.3. And for another system, it is 0.4. So 0.4 is better than 0.3. So all of these measures could be derived and reduced to single quantities when you want to compare one system with another, or you have several systems to choose from. In a hospital environment, for example, if 10 manufacturers of X-ray machines come to you and you have to compare their systems, you could create a phantom, acquire images with each one, test the image with these measures, and say this is the best. So that closes chapter 2. Do you have any questions?